Every day is another story. Today we got stuck behind the truck. And they're moving it in and moving it out. After we put that on silent. Good. So our Bosai today is the third of Shvat, the Yahrzeit of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So I asked Joseph to photocopy a page in which yours truly quotes Rav Soloveitchik, who quotes his father. So I thought this would be a nice mesoras, a passing on of a tradition, the transmission of Torah, which is what we're doing. This is all about Mesiras HaTorah, to link us back to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and it should be Sfas of Dovros Bakever. You know, to me it's amazing the link of generations. The Rav once told us, thank you so much, if you can pass this around, that he knew someone in his youth, an older gentleman, who had a friend who was much older than him, who was at the Beis HaLevi's Bris. The Beis HaLevi's Bris was about the year 1750. So it's unbelievable that we can pass on this tradition, because I heard from my Rebbe that he knew someone who in his youth met someone who was at the Beis HaLevi's Bris. But that's what Jewish transmission is all about. So here, I want to transmit to you something from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in honor of his Yahrzeit. Now, the page that you have should say on the top right 52, am I correct?
Correct.
Okay, good. So we're all on the same page. Now, our goal is to get to the second line on a paragraph that starts Ubimikra Megillah. So you'll see on the second line it says Shamati Mi Abba Morizal. And these were notes that I took in Rav Soloveitchik's class many, many years ago. I was in the Rav Shir in the mid-70s. So you're going back a while. And here's what's going on. We're trying to figure out whether the appropriate nusach for a bracha should be an al or a li. And we decided that according to the Shita of the Riva, one of the Bali Atosis is quoted by the Rush, it depends whether the mitzvah lends itself to shlichus or not. If the mitzvah lends itself to shlichus, then the bracha is with an al, because there's no possibility of a shliach making a bracha on what we call the chovas gavra. He's not obligated in the mitzvah. His asiyah is not a fulfillment of his obligation. And therefore we need a nusach that is somewhat more all-encompassing. And that's the nusach of al. So far so good, Rabosa. Yes? Okay. So the Riva now wants to analyze the following question. Why is it that the bracha in the case of Hallel is with a lamed? And the Rush quotes the Riva, who says that the bracha of Hallel is with a lamed, and the Rush thinks that logically the bracha should be with an al, and he says the following. I understand the Riva in the case of Lishmar Kol Shofar, that the bracha is with a lamed, because I'm obligated to hear the shofar myself. No way, no how can I send you as my proxy to listen to the shofar on my behalf. So as a classic case of a mitzvah, which is a chovas gavra, shofar requires a bracha with a lamed. But the Rush claims that in the case of Hallel, the bracha should be with an al rather than with a lamed. And why is that so? he says the following. Likros ha-halel, he says, why should it be likros ha-halel? He says, shomer ka-oneh. And yesterday we raised the following objection. What do you mean shomer ka-oneh? Shomer ka-oneh is not shlichus. Shomer ka-oneh means that I have to hear and recite Hallel. The Chiddush of Shomer Ka'onah is that through this mechanics, it's as if I myself recited the Hallel. That's called Shomer Ka'onah. But clearly, I can't appoint you as my Shliach to recite Hallel for me, and I'll stay home today. So what does the Rosh mean that the Nusach HaBracha that's appropriate for Hallel should be an Al rather than a Lit? Then the Rosh says that the bracha of Sfiras HaOmer is going to be Al Sfiras HaOmer. Says the Rosh, you know why the bracha is Al Sfiras HaOmer? Because we're all listening to the bracha of the Shliach Tzibur. Again, that's not our minhag, but that was the minhag apparently that was accepted at the time of the Rosh. So once again, what does that mean? I come to hear the bracha on Sfiras HaOmer, and I'm Yotze Midin Shomer Ka'onah. It's as if I heard and recited the bracha through my hearing. Why is that Al? That should be Lit. I'm obligated in the bracha on Sfiras HaOmer. It's my obligation. It should be the same as Shofar. Why is it that the bracha of Sfiras HaOmer shifts from Lamed to Al? So we have two problems here, and they're both based on one statement, one premise of the Rosh. The Rosh assumes that when we activate the principle of Shomer Ka'onah, the bracha should shift from a lamed to an al, and we don't understand why. The Riva says that the bracha shifts from a lamed to al, and when, Rabbi Osai, what's the key concept? Shlichus. There's no shlichus in Shomer Ka'onah. Shomer Ka'onah doesn't mean that I can, you know, if you want to gauge shlichus, shlichus means I appoint you as my proxy. You go to the other end of the world to fulfill my agency, and I'm here. I'm not involved in the mitzvah. Well, that's not Shomer Ka'onah. So the answer is, apparently, the sugya berov hamadras melech. Correct? That's what we were holding yesterday. That in the case of Sfiras HaOmer, because the Shliach Tzibur is the only one reciting the bracha, and we're all listening to his bracha, and we're all being yotze with Shomer Ka'onah, what it means is that there's one bracha that's being recited for all of us. It's not that each individual is reciting his own private bracha. That would not allow for Barov HaMajus Melech. What's Barov HaMajus Melech? Again, the fact that we all are in one room together and simultaneously perform each one individually as mitzvah, that's not Barov HaMajus Melech. Maybe for Beit Shammai that might be Barov HaMajus Melech, but not for Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel say, Echad Mevarech L'Kula. So it means you need one Maisa bracha, and we all dip into his bracha, and vicariously we achieve that bracha through his bracha, not through my bracha. Again, if it's my bracha and your bracha and your bracha, that's not Barov HaMajus Melech according to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel requires that there be one bracha on behalf of everyone. So that means that the bracha now takes on a new complexion, and that is, it's a tzibur dika bracha. Again, I'm not identifying Barov HaMajus Melech with Tzibur. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean to say that. But what I mean to say is that there's a collective entity of one Maisa Mitzvah, in this case a Bracha, on behalf of a whole group of people. And that shifts the Bracha from a Lamed to an Al. Why? Because a Lamed would mean each one of us is making the Bracha individually. Right? And therefore, I have a chiv to make this bracha. I'm going to make that bracha with a lamed, because I'm fulfilling my individual chiv. But if I want to link up to one bracha on behalf of all of us, it's not my chiv that's being fulfilled through this bracha. It's our chiv, and that's called Barov HaMajus Melech. The our makes it impossible to make a bracha with a lamed. So a lamed means I, and the al means we. Okay? Oh, so now, Rabbi Osai, we can understand why the Riva, according to the Rosh's interpretation, advocates that the bracha of Sfir Salma should be with an al, because it's not I, it's not my bracha. If it would be my bracha, then if each one of us is making our own bracha, his own bracha, then that would be mafkir, that would undermine the kiyum of Barov Amajasmel. It's got to be one bracha on behalf of all of us. It's we reciting the bracha. And whenever it's we, the bracha changes from what? A lamed to an al. Everyone with me so far? Okay. Now, let's talk about Kriya Sahalel. In Kriya Sahalel, what we have is the following. Let me read to you. Again, this is just my transmission of what I heard from my Rebbe, so it's not Torah's Lakshin, but he says the following. He says, Al Pi Zeh, this is about seven lines down from the top of page 52. Yesh Lahavin, let's explain the Havamin of the Rosh, the Kash of the Rosh, that the bracha should not be Likros Sahal, but rather Al Kriya Sahal. He says the following, that we have now a situation in which, in Hallel, the obligation is al kol yachid v'yachid. Every individual is obligated in the mitzvah of Hallel. Rak habracha tzricha lios birchas hatzibur midin shomer ka'ona. And again, as we said before, shomer ka'ona means berov hamajus melech here in this context. That since I can be yotzi through a shmi of your bracha, it means I'm linking in or attaching myself to your bracha, and everybody in the audience is attaching themselves to the each and every one of us to the bracha of the shliach tzibur. Is that's the way shomer ka'ona? Therefore, says the Rosh, the bracha should be al. Just like we said in Sfiras HaOmer, that if we want to make this one bracha on behalf of all of us, correct? So it's not each individual, it's not I, but it's we, then so too in the case of Hallel, insofar as the Hallel is being recited, I'm sorry, the bracha on Hallel is being recited, again, according to this minog, as Barov HaMajus Melech, it means that we're all, as a group, we are reciting this bracha, we are fulfilling this mitzvah of reciting the bracha, then the bracha should reflect the fact that it's a we, and a bracha on a we is what? Oh. Is an al. So again, let's just review. We have an absolute analogy here between al Sfira Sa'omer and what should have been al Kriya Sahal, because in both cases, the bracha is being recited Barov HaMajus Melech as a we bracha, meaning as a bracha of one Maisa bracha, if you will, one actual physical bracha, but it's really the entire group that is now dipping into this bracha and participating in it as one group, as one entity. It becomes now what you'd call a kiyum tzibur. It's like the tzibur as a tzibur, or the group as a group, is fulfilling this mitzvah bracha. And just like in Sfiras HaOmer, we said that therefore we have to shift the bracha from a lamed, which would indicate that each and every one of us are reciting his own bracha, and that's going to be mafkia, barov hamajus melech. So therefore we have to change the bracha to reflect that it's one bracha on behalf of all of us, and that's going to be the nusach of al. The same thing is going to have to apply where? In Kriya Sahalel. That's going to be one bracha on behalf of all of us. And therefore the bracha should reflect the we of an al.
Sorry, can I just ask one question?
Yes.
So I follow everything you've said, but subsequent to that, both in Sfiras HaOmer and Hallel, every individual saying the bracha for himself.
That's what I say. I think, if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, the minhag back in the day,
they didn't.
Is one, the Shliach Tzibur recited the bracha. He calls it, the Rosh calls it, Lemisha Eino Baki, Lisha Eino Odea. Today, you know, we're all such experts in bracha that we go ahead and we recite our own bracha. I'm not sure, honestly, if that's what we should be doing. But I'm not coming here to change the minhag. If we're applying the principle of Barov Am, which now operates through the mechanics of Shomer Ka'oneh, then we should apply the principle that we see in Avdolah. How many people recite Avdolah?
One.
Only one. And that's Beis Hillel in Masechta Brachos, who says that Echad Mavdil Lekulam, and the bracha of Avdolah is going to be made as one Avdolah on behalf of all of us. And if we apply that to the case of Sfiras HaOmer, we understand that there's one bracha on behalf of all of us. Again, the technicality of it, I don't know, Asher, if you can figure out what's going on. The technicality, the mechanics of it is because of the Eino Baki, that he has to listen to the bracha. Therefore, they establish it as a minhag that the Shliach Tzibur would recite the bracha. They didn't have Sidurim the way we have it, printed Sidurim. This was before the printing press.
Why, when the Chazan says I'll for the Gila, and he says should say I'll for the Gila for Halel, why then when we nowadays say the Bracha for ourselves individually, why don't we change the Nusra?
I don't know. Excellent question. I can't answer that question. I think for that you'd have to be a Baki in the history of Minhagim. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but Minhagim is a very complicated issue. On the one hand, Minhag Yisrael Torah, and Dafkan Purim, the Ramah says, we're not going to undermine any Minhagim. You know, there were those who were opposed to the children. I think I mentioned to you, they used to have a Minhag of making an image of Haman on a piece of wood, and they would bang it away. Do you remember this, Ruvain, that we learned this together? And there were those who were opposed to that minig, and the Ramah says, a minig is holy of holies, and we have to let it go. And the children making noise for whatever. Minhagim are very odd. I can't justify the fact that Shechiyonu is recited by each individual on Leil Yom Kippur. Yeah. Correct?
Yes.
And we all say Shechiyonu by ourselves. And in other mitzvahs, for example, Mikra Megillah, there's only one person reciting Shechiyonu. The Minhagim evolved, and you know, again, this is a massive sugya, Michael, that you're touching on. It's like you touched on a sensitive nerve, because honestly, to make sense out of Minhagim is very difficult. So, for example, when my wife's Bubby was alive, her name was Ratza. So they, back in Poland, you know, she came from what was the name of the town? Lanzit. Back in Lanzit, in Poland, the women didn't sit in the sukkah.
Yeah.
It was freezing cold. So therefore, she never made a bracha on sukkah. Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with my wife? My wife, Baruch Hashem, sits in the sukkah no less than I do. Sometimes she's even more machmer than I, you know. She'll take her cell phone into the sukkah. I'm just joking. But what I'm trying to, and yet she follows her grandmother's. So I told her that because she's married to me, she should change her minhag. Yes. But let's say she would have been married to a Belzer, you know, and they follow the minhagim of the Alta Baba, so she wouldn't make a brach on the sukkah like the Sephardic women.
Yeah.
But then when it gets to lulav, she does make a bracha because the Alta Baba made a bracha. So it doesn't make any sense. They were minhagim that somehow got established and then it didn't change. Yes, Steve.
Well, on Sfiras HaOmer, if you miss, then you're not going to say the bracha the rest of the time. Don't you need the Shliach Tzibur to say the bracha?
That's a good point also. Let's say you don't know if you missed, or even if you know you missed, then smachlokas if every day is ma'akim. So the many scenarios in which you want to hear the bracha from the Shliach Tzibur. And now we're adding another element to the equation. Forget about all those extenuating circumstances, but just in general, you know, this is an ideal principle that always applies. Barov HaMajas Melech. So again, I never understood why in certain cases we'll have one person making the bracha, and in other cases everyone's going to make their own bracha. But if you ask me what the ideal is, and this is very strange, it's that one person should make the bracha. You know that in Kriyas HaGadah, Leil HaPesach, I would guess that if I would take a census here, everybody unanimously would say that each and every one of the people at the Seder table recite the Haggadah. Is that not true?
Yeah.
The Rambam doesn't have it like that. The Rambam has one person reciting the Haggadah on behalf of everyone. And he consistently repeats himself. He says the Omer Haggadah, the Koreas Haggadah. In Ner Chanukah, for example, the Rambam only has one Madlik on behalf of, no, doesn't matter how many people. So the Rambam...
Why does the Rambam say Al for a Madlik on Chanukah?
Oh, I don't know. Let's leave that for the end, Asher, because again, I just want to get through, you know, I have a shiur prepared, believe it or not, Masechet Pesachim, on the sugya Bedika, but in honor of the yard side of Rav Moshe, I just want to get to Rav Moshe's Chiddush. Okay, so Rav Osai, we're up to the point in which we appreciate the question of the Rosh. Why is it that the bracha is al Sfiras HaOmer, yet in Mikra Megillah, the bracha is Likros Es HaMegillah. So we're up to his answer. So again, if you're in the paragraph Al Pizeh, or if you're counting from the top of the page, I would count about 10 lines down. You'll see the first word in the line is Hashatz.
Yeah.
And then you'll underline V'al Zeh Mitari Tzarosh, if you want to underline it, because it makes it easier for the eye, to catch where we're up to. And here we get to the answer of the Rosh. So the Rosh says, you know why the bracha of Hallel is with a lamed? It's because of the din of Ania Berashi Aprakim. Now wait a second. This is a very strange answer of the Rosh. If you would ask me, I would have told you the Rosh is exacerbating the question. He's not resolving the issue. Because what element is he introducing into the equation here with this Ania Barashi Prakim? Ah, he's introducing the Yachid. Okay, interesting. I understood it a little differently, Michael, but maybe your pshat is better than mine. I thought that Adarabba, Ania Barashi Prakim, means we're all doing this as a tzibur. For example, if I read Hal at home, well, we call it Bayin Kaisel, you know, by my wall in my house, then there's no Ania Barashi Prakim. The Ania Barashi Prakim requires that I read it with tzibur, and there's going to be a shliach of the tzibur who's going to call out, you know, on Hashem Oshia No, or Hodol Hashem Kitov, and I have to respond. Yeah. So that responsive reading is something that we can only do Bitzibur. So now it comes out something very strange, because the Havamin of the Rosh was that the mitzvah of bracha here is classically tzibrdik, right? Because of the case, the paradigm case of Al Sfiris Omer, and we should apply that logic to Al Mikra, Al Kriyas Hallel. And now he answers, but Hallel has another dimension to it, that the tzibur has to get together with this responsive reading, as we call it. Oh, so Rav Soloveitchik wanted to say the following. He wanted to say the following. He says the following. He says, Kol HaBracha Hi Birchas HaTzibur. He says that in the case of Sfiras HaOmer, we are absolutely compelled to shift the bracha from a lamed to an al, because if we maintain the lamed in Sfiras HaOmer, then what happens is that the lamed indicates that each individual who's listening to the bracha is reciting the bracha for himself. Because again, lamed means what? Everybody?
Individual.
I, yeah. Right? I. There's I and we. So whenever I ask you a question, you have two choices. Right. It's either I or we. So again, in the case of Sfiras HaOmer, the Chiyuv Sfiras HaOmer is itself what kind of a Chiyuv? I. Right? Everyone? I. But the bracha we want to make into a we. How do we shift the bracha into a we to achieve this goal of Barova Majus Melech? We must turn it into an al. Because again, the danger is that if we leave the bracha as a lamed, and everybody individually is obligated in his own personal obligation in Sfiras HaOmer, then what we're going to have is a perfect match between the lamed and the kiyum of the mitzvah. Do you follow what I'm saying? The kiyum of the mitzvah is individual.
Yeah.
And now the lamed is indicating that I am obligated to be mekayim this mitzvah. Yeah. So we forfeit the joint effort of everybody participating in one bracha. So in order to indicate that the bracha is a tzibrdik bracha, whereas the chiyuv itself is what? Is a chovetz yach, it's an I, then we have to shift the nusach bracha. But not so in the case of Hallel. Why? Because in Hallel, not only is the bracha a bracha on behalf of the entire tzibur, but even the kriya itself invites the entire tzibur to join in one communal effort. Now, wait a second. What you're telling me now is that both the bracha and the kiyum mitzvah are both tziburdik.
So
then it should be al. So how did the Rosh answer his question? So here the Rav says something unbelievable. He says the following. Kol shah, here are the rules and regulations that determine al and lit. Kol shah brachi birchas hatzibur. V'gam ha-mitzvah atzma hi mitzvah hatzibur. Paradoxically, if both the bracha and the mitzvah are both incumbent upon the tzibur, we'd be mekayim both the bracha as a tzibur and the halal as a tzibur, then the bracha remains with a lamed, Okay, we'll try to explain that in just a second. Whereas a conflict, if you will, I'm looking for a better word, but if there's a contrast between the bracha and the mitzvah itself, meaning that the bracha is meant to be a bracha of a we on behalf of the community, whereas the mitzvah itself is a mitzvah on the yachid, on the individual, that's when we have to indicate that shift in the bracha by changing the bracha to an al. Why? Because again, as we said before, if we leave the bracha in its original nusach of lamin, then we're in deep trouble. Why? Because then the bracha is an individual bracha. Why? Because the mitzvah itself is an individual mitzvah. However, in the case of Hallel, this is the Chiddush of the Rosh, since we have both a Kiyum Bracha Shalat Tzibur, and we have a Kiyum HaMitzvah of the Tzibur, because Hallel is recited, Barash Eprakim means, Aniyah Barash Eprakim means, that is a Tzibur element in the Kiyum, therefore, we can join together as an I. What does that mean, we join together as an I? Because the mitzvah is being fulfilled by one entity, right? By the tzibur itself. He says the following. He says that, Kol shabrochi birchas hatzibur v'gam ha-mitzvah atzvah hi mitzvah hatzibur. As hatzibur nechshav ki yochid. Here's the paradox. Now, the tzibur joins into one entity. The Torah is not imposing an obligation on you and on me and on him, but rather on us, on the we. And if that means that the we emerges as one entity, that becomes like a chovas yachid. So when do I have to shift to nusach bracha? When the bracha is meant to be a tzibur dika bracha, and if I leave it as a lamed, it indicates that since the mitzvah that I'm about to fulfill is a yachid mitzvah, the bracha is now a bracha on the yachid. In order to transform the bracha and elevate it into a bracha for the tzibur, I must change the nusach. And that's going to indicate that we're all participating in one bracha. However, in the case of Hallel, where not only is the bracha on behalf of the tzibur, but the mitzvah itself is being implemented on behalf of the tzibur. It's not I, but it's we. We become one entity. It's like a yachid, and therefore the bracha is going to be with a lamed. According to this, if we go back to shofar, then we could ask ourselves the following question. In shofar, the bracha is lishma with a lamed. Wait a second. The bracha itself is a birchas hatzibur, and the mitzvah is a mitzvah's yachid. And we said whenever there's a discrepancy, oh, that was the word I was looking for, if there's a discrepancy between the bracha itself and the, and by the way, Michael, here even our minig reflects this, because do you make a bracha on shofar?
No,
it's the Shliach Tzibur makes the bracha on the shofar. So obviously, Berov HaMajus Melech reflects itself in our minog. So there's one bracha on behalf of the tzibur, and yet each individual is chayiv to hear the shofar as an individual chiyuv. So we now have this contrast between the bracha and the kiyum mitzvah. Whenever the bracha has to be elevated to Barov Am, when the mitzvah itself is a chovas yachid, then what do we have to do in order to reflect that that bracha is Barov Am? We have to shift it to an al. So why is the bracha lishma called shofar? So the Rav answers, because there are two sets of shofar blowing. There's what's called tkiyas debiyushav, which is enochinam yachovas yachid. But there's another element, and that's tkiyos dima umad. When are those tkiyos blown?
Yeah.
During
the
Musaf? Right? Okay, Chazor Sashatz, and some have it during Shul, whatever the minog is, but at least during Chazor Sashatz. So that's called the Tkios al Seder HaBrachos. The Tkios al Seder HaBrachos is an obligation on the Tzibur. As far as the Yochid is concerned, he already filled his obligation by hearing the Tkios to be Yushav. So now again, we have a perfect, what's the opposite of a discrepancy? We have a perfect match. What's the word?
Congruence.
We have a perfect congruence of the bracha and the mitzvah, because both are tzibardik. And if both are tzibardik, the bracha is going to be with a lamed. Now the Rav gets stuck with Mikra Megillah. Now you gentlemen are not learning Megillah. You're learning Pesachim. But some of us are learning Megillah. And those who participate in my shiur at 11:45, we're learning Megillah. So the question is, what's the nusach of the bracha of of Megillah.
Al Mikra Megillah.
Al. Correct? It's with an Al. Now, in the past, we've discussed this, and we came to the conclusion, based on a Ravid, that a mitzvah derabbanon is not a chova, and therefore you can't make a brach with a lamin. But now we're going with the Riva. The Riva doesn't know of this Ravid. He doesn't know of any distinction between a doraisa and derabbanon. To the same extent that a doraisa gets a lamin, then a derabbanon should also get a lamin. So why is it that the bracha of Mikra Megillah is an with an al? So he writes the following. He says that the bracha is a birchas hatzibur. The chova is a chovas yachid. Now we get back to the paradigm of Sfiras HaOmer, right? What was the problem in Sfiras HaOmer? The chova itself is a chovas yachid. Yeah. And the bracha we try to elevate to the status of a bracha on behalf of the rov am, of a tzibur. So now we have a discrepancy. The same thing should apply in the case of Mikra Megillah. Why? The bracha is going to be on behalf of the entire tzibur, but the chova is going to be implemented by the yachid. So to the same extent that according to the Riva, the bracha in the case of what? A Sfiras HaOmer is going to have to shift from a lamed to an al, so to a Mikra Megillah, we're going to have to shift from a lamed to an al. Everything seems hunky-dory. Everything is fine.
Just
one second. I'm sorry. I'm going to lose my trend here. Oh, so he says the following. If Mikra Megillah is a Chovas Yachid and the Bracha is a Chovas Tzibur, so we end up with that discrepancy, so we can't make the Bracha with a Lamed, because if we made a Bracha with a Lamed, it would indicate that I and you and him, each one of us, is making the Bracha individually, and then we're going to undermine the Kiyum of Tzibur in the Bracha based on Barov Am, as we saw in Sfiras HaOmer. But he says, I have a problem. Why do I have a problem? Because I believe, he says, and we'll soon see why, that the paradigm for the mitzvah of Megillah is Hallel. What's the nusach in Hallel again? Let's not forget. Lamed. Why? Because in Hallel, both the bracha and the kiyum mitzvah is tzibardik. Where's the element of tzibur in the case of Hallel? Aniya birashay, aniya birashay prakim. Where's the element of tzibur in what you call it in Megillah? Shamati mi'aba marizal sheyesh nei kiyumi b'kriyas haMegillah. That Megillah, like Hallel, again I'm adding those two words, has two dimensions to it. Yes, I'm obligated in reading the Megillah as a yachid, but I also have to fulfill that obligation in the tzibur. I'll, for example, read to you the language of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, this is Hilchas Megillah Siman Tafresh Sadi, and he says the following. Megillah b'yudalet u'betesvav tzorech lachzar achar asara. He has to look for another. So let's say, for example, I missed the public reading of Megillah. Now I have two options. One option is to read the Megillah on my own and fulfill my Chovas Yochid. The other option is to gather together another nine people. Again, most of those people probably heard the Megillah in the first round, but they'll do me a favor. Like, I remember the Rav used to come in from Boston and he would say, oh, get me another nine people, I want to hear Kriyas HaTorah. It was Monday and Thursday and he hadn't heard Kriyas HaTorah. So the Shulchan Aruch is saying that if you missed the, unfortunately you weren't there when the Tzibur read it, get together another nine people. So you'll have a minyan. So what does that mean? Says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, it means that there's a Kiyum Tzibur in Megillah. It's not enough that the individual read the Megillah, we got to get the entire Tzibur to read the Megillah. And the Tzibur is represented by how many people?
Ten
people. Oh, now Rabbo said we have a perfect equation between what? Between Hallel and Megillah. Just like we said in Hallel, the bracha is with a lamed because both the bracha and the mitzvah itself is fulfilled through the tzibur. So too, in the case of Megillah, we should make the bracha with a lamed according to the Riva, the way the Rosh understood it, because both the bracha and the kiyuma mitzvah has an element of tzibur to it. And you want to, and if you have no discrepancy between the bracha, what was the word again? Congruence? No, I forgot the word.
Confluence, written. I think. It's
confluence? Okay, whatever the word is, you'll ask Merriam-Webster. There's a perfect confluence between the bracha and the kiyuma mitzvah. Then the bracha remains with the lamed because the whole tzibur is doing it as one entity, as a yachid. So I wanted to suggest the following. Let's ask the following question. Is there a difference in terms of the quality of the mitzvah between reading Hallel at home with me, myself, and I, or reading Hallel together with the tzibur?
Yes.
Obviously, I'm missing Aniyah Barashi Prakim. But is Aniyah Barashi Prakim what you'd call just an embellishment to the mitzvah? You know, it added another few brownie points. You know, it's like a Zekeli Me'aveyu kind of thing. You add a mitzvah and a mufchar. Or is it much more than that? Is it that Aniyah Barashi Prakim, which is an integral part of Halbet Sibur, is a quality in the very essence of the mitzvah of Hallel? And it means that although b'di'eved, you know, you yotzei the mitzvah b'yachid in the case of Hallel, even though you're lacking the kiyum tzibur, but nevertheless, that's not the way the mitzvah is organized. The real engineering of the mitzvah is together with the tzibur. I'll give you an example. The Rambam Shita is that on Rosh Chodesh, we don't make a bracha, unless Hallel is recited b'tzibur. Pili Plon, the Rambam Shita. You know, we're familiar with the Sfaradim, the Ashkenaz, and we don't realize that many follow the Rambam Shita, which means that the Shliach Tzibur on Rosh Chodesh will recite a bracha. I mean, you see something very important from the Rambam, that essential to the mitzvah of Hallel is the element of Tzibur. And Tzibur now changes the entire mitzvah of Hallel. So that Aniyah Barashi Prakim is just a symptom, it's just one expression of the essential element of tzibur within the mitzvah of Hallel. What about Megillah? Is there any essential difference in the kiyum, the ikar mitzvah of Megillah between a yachid and a tzibur? If you take a look at the language of the Mechaber, the Chaber says, Tzarech lachzor achar asor. What does he mean by tzarech lachzor achasor? I don't know. I mean, you could say tzarech lachzor achasor because otherwise he's going to forfeit a major chunk of the mitzvah, an essential quality of the mitzvah. No, tzarech lachzor achasor is like a lechatchila just to embellish the mitzvah. So if you take a look at the sugya of tzibur, which is in Megillah Daf Hey, the Gemara says the quinter of Asi, the way the Rif understands Rav Asi, tzibur is absolutely critical in the mitzvah of Megillah. Rav says, no, we're reading the Megillah on Yudalid, we're reading the Megillah on Tesvav, we don't need a tzibur. But the Gemara says that Lamaisa, Rav was machmir and he tried to get a tzibur even on Yudalid and Tesvav because of the Shita Rav Asi. It sounds like Rav holds that the mitzvah unto itself of Megillah could be fulfilled in its entirety without a tzibur, even b'yachid. So perhaps we could suggest the following, that the difference between Hallel and Megillah, Hallel has a bracha with a lamed, and Megillah has a bracha with an al, is justified by the following fundamental distinction. In the case of Hallel, the tzibur element of Hallel is an integral part of the mitzvah. Again, it's not indispensable, it's not likuva, it's not critical. You could be mekayim the mitzvah of Hallel b'yachid, but you'd be missing the mitzvah itself. In other words, the real mekoy mitzvah you'd be forfeiting because you read Hallel b'yachid. This should motivate us to get up and make sure we daven b'tzibur when there's Hallel. You know, it should be us an extra push to get out of bed in the morning, right? Because we realize that our Hallel by Kaisel, as we said, is not the real mekoy Hallel. We'd be missing a quality in Hallel in the mitzvah of Hallel. Not so in the case of Megillah. In Megillah, it's a very nice embellishment. Rav was machmir for the Shita Rav Asi, and we'll also be machmir. You know, tzarech lachzarach. So make an effort. That's what he means. Make an effort to try to get 10 people, but it's not an essential part of the mitzvah. And the nafkamina is that the bracha now is going to be a bracha with an al because we have no choice. We have to justify this discrepancy between the bracha and the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is a chovas yachid, and basically Megillah is a chovas yachid, and if you read the Megillah on your own, you have a full-fledged kiyum of Megillah. In fact, the poskim say that even though a woman is obligated to Megillah, but this halacha tzarech lachzor achasor, that a woman has to make that extra effort, you know, she's preparing holoches for the Sudas Purim, she doesn't have to go to shul at that point. Somebody will read the Megillah on her behalf, b'yachid. So it means that the kiyum of Megillah as opposed to Hallel is a kiyum yachid. There's an extra embellishment of pirsum anes b'tzibur, but the mitzvah itself in its basic form in its critical form if the bare bones mitzvah Megillah is a Chovas Yochid. And therefore that produces a discrepancy between the bracha, which is a bracha Merovam as a tzibur, and a mitzvah which is a Chovas Yochid. And in order to upgrade the bracha from the level of a Birchas HaYochid to a bracha of the Rov HaMadras Melech, we must shift the Nusach HaBracha from a Lamed to an Al. In which case Rav Moshe is still correct that there is a Kiyum Tzibur in Hallel, in Megillah, but nevertheless the bracha must be with an Al. Because what Rav Moshe is saying is, yes, there's a kiyum mitzvah of Hallel. A kiyum mitzvah of Megillah b'tzibur, but it's not an essential qualitative part of the mitzvah of Megillah. Excuse me, just 1 second, Asher. I forget your first name.
Ian.
Oh, Ian. I have a friend named Ian.
Okay, now you've got another one.
Now I have another one. Great, Ian. Okay, Ian. You wanted to say something before, and I'm sorry, I had to wrap it all up.
It was ages ago, but
okay.
I still remember.
It was Ian's of years ago.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get my head round. I'm in shul during Sfiras HaOmer time. I hear the Shliach Tzibur say the bracha, to which I say Amen.
Right.
There seems to be a minhag to not say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemo during the bracha,
right.
So we can talk about that as well. He counts. Can I be yotzei with his count?
No.
I don't do anything.
Absolutely not. Because the Gemara says, it's actually a Sifri, it says, Usfaratim lochem, shetei sfir l'kol echad v'echad.
Right.
So there's no Shomei Ka'onin in Sfiras HaOmer. Right. As far as the bracha is concerned, there's Shomei Ka'onin.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you have to say Amen. But if you want to link up to the bracha of the Shliach Tzibur, then I recommend the following two things. Recommended number one, which is less important, is that you should not say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemo, because that would be a hefsek. And recommendation number two is that you shouldn't make your own bracha. Because again, you should not make your own bracha. Because if you go ahead and make your own bracha, then you removed yourself from the Merov HaMadras Melech.
Everybody does.
Yeah, I'm just saying, that's the paradox that Michael was speaking about before, that our minhagim did not seem to reflect the conceptual framework of Allah.
If you use that svara in terms of Al for Megillah, so that means that if I do it as an individual by myself, I should switch it to back to look.
That's what I said.
Oh, so again, let's go over this. We're talking about an individual, right? And now his bracha is only a bracha of the yachid. So the bracha should be with a lam.
Likra Megillah, as opposed to Al Megillah.
Right, so the technical answer to your question, I want to see if we can come up with a deeper answer, a more profound answer, would be that we, according to the Rivah, remember the Rivah says that even if the Aviyah Ben is circumcising his own son, the bracha remains with an al.
Yeah.
Meaning the, what you call it, the Rivah Shita, as opposed to the Rambam Shita, is that once you establish a nusach in case X, then we're going to universalize it for all cases. So in the case where I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Megillah as it should be fulfilled, so the bracha has to shift to an al in order to indicate, again, in that minug, in the context of that minug, that the bracha is Barov HaMadras Melech, and we're all linking up to one we, and therefore the bracha has to be with an al, therefore even when he's being revar, that's the way they establish the Nusach HaBracha. So the Nusach HaBracha, according to Rivah, is stationary, what's the word, is fixed, and it doesn't change.
I've seen Lo Mul Espeni for a father. There's a sefer called Zoche HaBris.
Yeah.
And in Zoche HaBris it says, if the father himself is the mole, he says, Lo Mul Espeni.
Right, so he's passing like the Rambam against the Rivah.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't go through the poskim, so I can't tell you. I'm positive that there'll be poskim who accept the Rivah amongst Ashkenazi. Was it a Sfaradic Bris, by the way? Because that would solve my problem right off the bat.
I don't think so.
No, because Sfaradim would surely be influenced by the Rambam. The Rambam says that the bracha shifts. If it's the Aviyah Ben, he makes the bracha with a lam.
I'll show you the
sofa. All right, Rabosai. This I want to put on the side, and I just enjoy mentioning Rav Moshe Soloveitchik on his yard side. So let's make at least an inroad into the sugya of Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. So what we want to do is we want to open up to two different places, so to speak. One place is on Daf Ches Amud Beis, and we're really moving quickly towards the end of the Daf. If you count up from the end of Chesam and Beis, we're up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the end of the page. And at the same time, we want to keep our finger on the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta, on the base of an Aleph. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah records a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai with regarding the otros of Yayin, which are storehouses or a cellar for where we store barrels of wine, and they're barrels of wine that are literally packed into the cellar from floor to ceiling, and it's one row after the other, and that's called the Martef. And the question is, if we're afraid that maybe they ran out of wine in the middle of the meal, and that classical case that we spoke about where he enters into the Martef in the middle of the meal in order to get more wine for the table. So how far does he go? In other words, let's try to imagine that whoever it is, whether it's a member of the household, whether it's the butler or the servant, whoever it is who's going into the Martef and he's holding chametz, how far is he going to go in? You know, he only needs really the barrels that are closer to the entrance. So where does he have to be bodek? Because again, the premise here is that most of the Martef, which is packed with many, many barrels of wine, is not a makom shemachnisim bo chametz. There's no need to force the person to take apart his whole Martef. So that's the machlokas here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Let's see if we can read the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah says the following. Beis Shammai omrim shtei shuros al pnei kol ha-martef. Okay, and again, no one's going to argue with shtei shuros, which means that this premise of Beis Hillel is both, according to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, is accepted that you only have to check two shuros, two rows of barrels. But the question is, which rows of barrels? Is it al pnei kol ha-martef? Or is it, as Beis Hillel says, shtei shuros hachitzonos, shehein ha-elyonos? The two rows which are on the outside, I guess closest to the entrance, shehein elyonos, that are also on top of the barrels. So keep in mind, we have here a complex situation. We have to consider the barrels that are on the outside, meaning that are closest, so that's the first place that he gets to. But then which barrels is he going to take? You know, he's got one barrel on top of the other. Obviously he's not going to take the bottom barrel, that would be catastrophic, so he's going to take the top barrel. So what exactly are the various shitos here of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? So that we have a machlokas in the Gemara. Beit Shammai omer shtei shuros, which is called al pnei kol ha-martef. Omer Rav Yehuda, shtei shuros sha'omru, these two rows that he's referring to, are min ha'aretz, from the ground ad shmei korah. In other words, these are the two first rows. The first row, which is the row that he is exposed to, which he encounters when he enters into the Martev. And the second row is the one behind it. Meaning we have to assume that maybe, even though the second row is concealed, you know, it's not apparent, but nevertheless, maybe he went as far as there and he left his pita over there. So let's imagine, if we can, that there are, let's say, 10 rows, and each row has, let's say, 10 barrels on the ground, and on top of those 10 barrels on the ground, each one of those barrels has another 9 barrels on top of it. So in other words, we have 10 rows, and each row is made up of 10 by 10. So how many barrels do we have all told?
100.
We have, no, one second. We have 10 going up, times 10 is 100, and then we have 10 rows. So it's 10 times 100 is 1,000. So we have 1,000 barrels. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? I'd have to, you know, if my wife was here, she would make a little design for us, you know. Okay, so according to Beit Shammai, how many barrels are we going to have to check? 200 barrels, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have 100 barrels on the outside, that meaning that you first encounter. Why 100? Because we have 10 rows, on the bottom, on the floor, and each one has another 9 barrels on top, so the 10 rows of 10, so that if you want to do the entire outer row, that is comprised of 100 barrels. Now we want to go, according to Beit Shammai, into the second shura. The second row is another 100 barrels, is 200 barrels. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan has a different interpretation of Beit Shammai. Shura achas kimin gam. Now gam is a letter in the Greek alphabet, but it's similar to an L shaped, but what I mean to say is like two lines, one line on top and the other line meets it going down. So we have now the following two shuros according to Rabbi Yochanan. It means the following, that this L shape goes on top, so now we need to check on the top row, and we need to check on the outside row. So let's now try to figure out what according to Rabbi Yochanan is the requirement of Beit Shammai. He says the following: Kol chaviyos sheros es Pesach hamartev, v'chol chaviyos lemala haroes tikras hamartev. In other words, we need both the outer row and the top row on the top level that's adjacent to the ceiling. Biyachad hem shtei shuros moleos shalmea, achas mitzad kidmi v'achas shebitzad ha'elyon. So again, we still come up with a very heavy number, but there's going to be a discrepancy. Why? Because there's an overlap here of 10 barrels. Do you follow what I mean? Because when you have this L shape, this upside down L, this gam, so what you're going to have is on the top level, which means the 10th barrel on top is also the barrel, it's also part of the shura of the Elyona. So that's the overlap. So we're going to have to subtract from 210 barrels. So the great glick of Rabbi Yochanan is that instead of Beit Shammai requiring a bedika of 200, he's going to be happy with a bedika of 190. Tanya Kavosei Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya Kavosei Rabbi Yochanan. We have two brises, one to support Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation and the other to support Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. Tanya Kavosei Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Shammai Omrim Shtei Shuros Al Pnei Kol Amartev, Ushtei Shuros Sha'amru Min Ha'aretz V'Yad Shmei Korah. In other words, he's not requiring a shura on top that is, as we said before, that is connected continuous to the ceiling. He's talking about two shuros that go from the bottom all the way up to the top, and you multiply that by two, meaning you have the outer shura that goes all the way to the top, that's 100 barrels, and you have another shura that's right behind it, which goes from the bottom to the top, is another 100 barrels, and that supports the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya Kavosi, Rabbi Yochanan, Shtei Shuros Al Pnei Amartev, Chitzona, Roa Es HaPesach. So one shura is going to be visible from the Pesach, meaning when you enter into the Martev. Ve'el Yona Roa Es HaKorah. But the other shura is a shura that sees the ceiling, meaning that top level. So then we came up with the number 190. Shalif nimei mena shalamate mena eno tzricha bedika. Beis Hillel omrim shtei shuras chitzonos shehem elyonos. In other words, according to Beis Hillel, the concept of shura is not like the kosel shalem, meaning the entire thing, but el shura achas bilvat. Now each shura is made of 10 chavios. So for example, if we would use the paradigm of a gam, then you'd end up with 20 barrels. Well, let's see how the Gemara develops this. Amar Rav, Rav says, El Yona Vishalamata Heimena. We need the top shura, which is close to the tikra, and we need the one below it. So if you talk about the top shura from the on the outer wall, so to speak, of barrels, then you're talking about 10 barrels, right? That's the 10th barrel, the highest barrel on each one of the 10 right, pillars, if you will, and then the 10 barrels below it. So all we need, according to Rav, in Basil's favorite reference, is to be bodeg 20 barrels. Shmuel Omar El Yona Vishalifnim Heimena. In other words, you need the top row that's close to the tikra, to the ceiling, and then we need the one that's hidden behind it, and it sees the Pnei HaTikra. Again, we're going to still end up with the same 20 barrels, but it's two different 20 barrels. So let's just describe the second interpretation based Hillel. So we're going up. So according to the first interpretation, let's go back to the first interpretation, which was, I forget the name's Rav. According to Rav, we're talking about, let's say, this is the outer row. So we're going all the way up to the 10 barrels on top and the 10 barrels below it. Those are the two shiros going down from the ceiling. And then according to Shmuel, we're talking about the 10 barrels on the top and the other 10 barrels on the row behind it. In both cases, we're talking about 20 barrels. And the Gemara says, again, my time of the Rav. Rav is medayik from the Lashon of the Mishnah. What does Beis Hillel say in the Mishnah? Beis Hillel says that we need to be bodek the chitzonos. Correct? Let's go back to the Mishnah for a second. I'm just trying to rush this to before the bell rings because I want to be able to start the new Mishnah tomorrow, Mirz Hashem. So we go back to the Mishnah. Beis Hillel says, Shtei shuras hachitzonos. Shehein el yonos. Chitzonos means the rows that are seen and encountered when you enter into the martes. Now the one behind it, which is Shmuel Shita, that's not a chitzonos. You can't justify that and call it chitzonos. Beis Hillel says it requires bedikah on the chitzonos. Awesome. Gemara asks a question. Wait a minute. Beis Hillel adds another phrase. Not only the chitzonos, the two shuras chitzonos, but ha elyonos kitani. So the elyonos seem to mean the top row. So how do you get two top rows if you're only counting the top row and then the row below it? That's not called an Elyona. Mm. So the answer is, according to Rav, Lima'ute tatoi ditataise. He doesn't mean to say that, you know, you need Elyonos, and it's only Elyonos. But what he means is, he means in the Chitzonos, you don't have to go all the way down. In other words, it's only the top two rows on the outer kosel. Shmuel Omar Elyona Vishalifnime Mena, and the one behind the top row, my timer. And the answer is the Eik Elyona. So according to Beis Hillel, the emphasis here is on the top rows, both of which see the Tikra. So the Gemara objects to Shmuel Vachitzonos. What are we going to do with the word Chitzona according to Shmuel's interpretation of Beis Hillel, because the word chitzonos seems to indicate the outer wall of barrels, the barrels that are seen and visible when you enter into the martev? The answer is, lima'ute gavyasa de gavyasa. He's coming to only to exclude the inner rows that go beyond the second row. So it's only the top row and the row behind it that's concealed, but not the row behind that. Rav Chiya Tani Vekuli Tanoi Tanuk Havasi de Shmuel, and he says that the Brisos in general seem to support Shmuel, Vehilchasa Kavase de Shmuel. We accept the Shita of Shmuel. Okay, Rav Moshe, so Mirza Shembuli Neder. Tomorrow we start the new Mishnah of Chulda. So those of you who, if you know anyone by the name of Chulda, tell it to come to Shia tomorrow. No, we don't allow women in Shia, but in theory we should allow a Chulda to Shia, because the whole thing is about this little weasel that's running around with chametz in its mouth. Okay.
What time did you do the next Shia here?
11:45.
That's the Gemara Megillah,
right.
Whereabouts are you in Poland?
Oof, that's hard to say. Yeah, the reason why it's hard to say is because right now I'm running to another shiur.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Once in a while they ask me to fill in for someone.
I'm not even sure if I can.